Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Wolves. So glad you tuned in. So glad you downloaded the Locked On Wolves podcast, again, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Alan Horton. You can find me on Twitter at Wolves Radio, at Locked On Wolves, at Wolves Radio, and at Locked On Wolves. Hit me up with any questions, any comments, any thoughts, any concerns. We'll try to answer some tweets throughout the course of the season as we really kick things off in earnest this week with our daily podcast going Monday through Friday. We're in the midst of our roster breakdown. Yesterday, we took a look at the point guard position. Up next, the shooting guard position. And when you think of the shooting guards for the Timberwolves, well, there's really one name that jumps out on you. There's not a lot of depth. We talked about the great depth that the Wolves have at the point guard spot yesterday. But Zach LaVine is your shooting guard, and there's really not a whole lot of competition for him at that spot. We've got Zach LaVine, Brandon Rush, who can play the shooting guard. He can play the small forward. He can even play some four for you if you wanted to go that direction. And another body the Wolves have brought in for training camp is Toure Murray, a guy who was on their summer league team, who played sparingly in a couple of seasons with the New York Knicks, played 51 games with them about 3 years ago, and then also played with Utah and the Washington Wizards 2 years ago, and then spent last year in the D League. So he'll be in training camp as well. So let's kind of break down where the Wolves are at that shooting guard spot. And Zach LaVine, you know, just continues, as you follow him on Twitter and follow what he's been up to during his workouts, he continues to try to fill out that frame that he's got. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten a little bit bigger. And it looks promising for Zach LaVine, especially after the way he finished up last season. After 1.5 seasons, the experiment appears to finally be over. No more Zach LaVine at the point guard spot. He moved to that shooting guard spot right around the All-Star break and thrived. Got the ball out of his hands a little bit. That freed him up. You could see him much more relaxed out there on the floor, not thinking as much. He was very deliberate at that point guard spot. You could see him working through all the things that point guards have to do about running the offense, knowing where guys are, where to get the ball, how quickly to bring it up, all those things. You could see it weighing on him, and it really freed him up when he moved to the shooting guard spot. And the numbers really back him up. In 27 starts at that shooting guard spot, Zach averaged 17 points a game, shot 48% from the field, and hit 45% of his threes. In fact, he was just one of five players after the All-Star break to hit 60 or more threes while shooting 43% or better. And he joined some pretty elite company, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum, JJ Redick, and Zach LaVine. I mean, those other four guys are some pretty good marksmen in the NBA with some pretty good track record, with maybe the exception of CJ McCollum, who obviously did have a big year and was the most improved player, but not really the track record there. Redick is established. Thompson is established. We know about Curry. So Zach joins some pretty elite company there down the stretch, and it just gives you, I think, a taste of what he's capable of at that shooting guard spot. Now, we should say that, you know, a year and a half at the point guard spot did have some positive results. The first, obviously, is that Zach was out there on the floor. He's getting NBA experience, maybe not at the position that he'll eventually end up, but he was out there on the floor. He was gaining minutes, gaining valuable experience. And with him at the point, you know, the Timberwolves did pick up 19 wins 2 years ago. They got the number one pick, which turned into Karl Anthony Towns. Last year, he was a part backing up Ricky Rubio at the point for the first half of the season. Team only went on to 29 wins. That got them the number five pick in the draft and resulted in Chris Dunn. So there were some positive things, even though those last 2 years were a real struggle for him at the point. Overall, for the organization, it worked out pretty well. And the Timberwolves may have something in Zach LaVine. Well, those numbers I mentioned after the All-Star break, you know, his three-point shooting last year, 39%, and that was up from 34% the year before. So we saw some improvement there. We also saw some improvement in where he's shooting the best from the three-point line, corner threes. Zach went from 38% to 46% last season in the corners, and that ranked him 14th among all players to hit at least 20 corner threes last year. So 14th in the league in corner three-point percentage. And the way this offense, and I mentioned it yesterday about the dynamic five, that starting five over the final, you know, 27 games that Zach was in there, you know, Rubio, LaVine, Wiggins, Jang, and Towns, that offense really clicked. They had a 114 offensive rating, and that ranked them fourth out of 53 lineups in the NBA the entire season. 53 lineups played 200-plus minutes, and the Wolves quintet there, that starting five, when they were on the floor together during the course of the season, ranked fourth out of those 53 lineups. Now, the defense did struggle, but it gives you an idea of how dynamic the offense can be. And over a course of a full season, I would expect even more corner three-point shooting from Zach LaVine. And it wasn't just his three-point shooting or corner threes. Zach improved in all areas offensively. I mean, the catch-and-shoot numbers have gone up, especially on his threes. He went from 40% to 43% on his catch-and-shoot threes. That ranked 16th in the league. Pull-up threes, coming up off the dribble, 27% his rookie year, 35% last year. And that mark, while, you know, 35% is league average from the three-point line, but on pull-ups, that's pretty impressive. And it ranked 8th best in the league. So you're, you know, all these numbers start to add up, and Zach LaVine has a chance to kind of duplicate that. And if you extrapolate it out to the course of the 82-game season, he can do some special things from beyond the arc. His points per game obviously went up 10 to 14 a game. His shot selection was better than his rookie year. We saw his shots in the restricted area go up. He's obviously can finish with that explosive athleticism. He finishes at 65% in the restricted area. We saw his mid-range shots, at least his percentage of his shots, go down from the mid-range, and his three-point attempts go up. So if you look at that shot selection, 31% of his shots came from the restricted area, 29% from the mid-range, and 33% from beyond the arc. And all those numbers were better than his rookie year. They all went up with the exception of the mid-range, which you want to come down, especially that was an area where Zach really struggled. We've touched on that yesterday, that both Zach and Andrew and Ricky, your three wing players, your three perimeter players, were three of the bottom nine shooters from the mid-range last season. None of them got above 35%. So, you know, for Zach to bring those mid-range shots down, that percentage of shots down, good. I think that's got to continue as well. But I mentioned the explosiveness and being able to finish at the rim. Obviously, his athletic ability and leaping ability, he's able to jam a lot of those shots inside. But finishing at a good rate at 65%, and it's not only his explosive athleticism, but that allows him to explode in some games. I mean, we saw the season-high 35 points when he came off the bench at Oklahoma City. That, at the time, set the mark for the most points off the bench in Timberwolves franchise history. Shabazz Muhammad tied that later in the year in that game, in that win at Golden State. But also in that game, Zach was 14 of 17 shooting. When he gets his stroke going, he can have a run like that. That 14 of 17 shooting tied the franchise record. KG had done that before. It's the highest field goal percentage in a game. And right, you know, including that OKC game and then the next two games, Zach put together a stretch of 19 straight made two-point shots. So inside the arc, he hit 19 in a row. That's the longest stretch in the NBA since Chris Bosh did it back in 2014. So a nice stretch for Zach there. And then going into March, Zach just continued his explosive play, and he had another big game March 25th, I believe it was. It was at Washington, and he helped the Wolves knock the Wizards out of the playoff race.
Off to Gorgie, right back to Zach. Gorgie sets the screen. Zach fires on a three and ties the game. Gorgie did it at the end of regulation. Now Zach has done it here in overtime. Knotted at 121. How about Zach LaVine? Back-to-back threes to bring the Wolves back from the dead.
And that's the way it sounded on 830 WCCO, your home for Timberwolves basketball. It'll be your home all season long, the Timberwolves Radio Network. That was a double overtime win. The Wolves pulled it out in Washington, one of a number of big road wins down the stretch. Remember the Wolves they picked up that big win in Oklahoma City. They won that game at Washington. They won the game at Golden State in the final road trip of the year, and they capped it off winning their road finale in Portland, another big win. Man, those were a lot of fun. And, you know, for Zach, that was one of two shots in his career. He's had two game-on-the-line field goals in his two-year career, and they nearly came to the exact day a year later. It's incredible. So he's hit two game-on-the-line shots, which is final 30 seconds in the game within 3 points. They're both three-pointers, and they both come from beyond 27 feet. That one you just heard, 29 feet against the Wizards, and it came on March the 25th, and it was almost a day, almost to the day, a year earlier at Utah. Remember that game when the Wolves had seven players available? It was March 23rd, 2015. He had a 27-footer to force overtime, a game that the Timberwolves would go on to win. So Zach is capable of some big shots, and that athleticism, at the end of the game, I think it's a huge weapon having Zach's ability. Even if there's a guy right in his face, he's got the leaping ability to at least get a look at the rim, even with a defender or two right on him. It's a nice option to have down the stretch. All right, before we continue with Zach LaVine, talk about Brandon Rush, Ture Murray a little bit, a reminder, if you're liking this podcast, if you love the Timberwolves, you probably love the other sports teams in town. How about Locked On Vikings? Check out what Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels have been doing. It's Locked On Vikings. Make sure to give them a listen and give them a follow. Also, tickets available for the two preseason games coming up at Target Center Wednesday, October 19th against Memphis, then Friday, October 21st against Charlotte. The only two preseason games that'll be in the Twin Cities at Target Center, again, the 19th and 21st. Go to Timberwolves.com, get your tickets for those, and tickets for the home opener, and of course every other game are on sale now. Just go to Timberwolves.com/WolvesTIX. If you're interested in that home opener, it is Tuesday, November 1st, against the Memphis Grizzlies. All right, back to Zach LaVine. We touched on some of his explosive numbers offensively, shooting the ball, especially from deep. An area where, you know, he's very similar to Andrew Wiggins is in the assists and in the rebounds, filling out kind of the box score, filling up the stat sheet a little bit. Three rebounds per game the last 2 years for Zach LaVine, three assists per game last year, and most of that I think came, you know, being in that backup point guard spot. But it'd be interesting to see over the course of a full season, you know, LaVine averaging about three rebounds a game, Andrew Wiggins averaging about four rebounds a game. You know, there's some more. Ricky Rubio's a good rebounder for his position, but you'd love to find some more rebounding from your wing players, and that includes LaVine and Wiggins. So we'll see how that develops. The other big issue for Zach, and this is huge this year, with Tom Thibodeau coming in and his defensive philosophy, can Zach LaVine do enough defensively to stay on the floor and to get the kind of minutes? If he can do that, I think he's going to get big minutes this year. But his defense, as we all know, has really struggled his first 2 years. I think part of that is been playing out of position and been focusing on the point guard spot so much that it's affected him at the other end of the floor. And ESPN's defensive Real Plus Minus has not been a real big fan of Zach's play the last 2 years. Out of 472 qualified players 2 years ago, Zach ranked in the bottom three. Last year, out of 462 qualified players, Zach ranked in the bottom seven. When he's been on the floor, Minnesota last year had a 110 defensive rating. That dropped to 104 when he was off the floor, so a minus six on that end of the floor. And as good as his offense was down the stretch, he's got to be better defensively. And if he can, if the coaching staff can get through to him and get him to play the kind of defense he needs to play to stay on the floor, I think it's going to be a real big season, a continued step of improvement for Zach LaVine. But that's going to be the real key. How much can he improve at the defense of the floor? Not only his one-on-one defense, but his help defense as well. A big part of defense is five guys on a string. Coaches talk about it all the time, moving together, helping each other out. You'd think with that athleticism that Zach has the opportunity to be a really good defender. And we'll see how that plays out. That'll be one of the storylines going into training camp. Backing him up, it looks like Brandon Rush. I think Rush, with his – He's a little bit bigger than he was when he came into the league, so I think maybe he might get more minutes at the small forward spot, but he might play the two. He could play the four as well, but we'll put him here backing up Zach LaVine at the two spot. He's a 6'6", 210-pound guard slash forward. Of course, came out of Kansas. He's an NCAA champion on that 2008 title-winning team. He was a junior that year. Cole Aldrich, his new teammate. They have not played together in the NBA. They played together in college. They were at Kansas. That was Cole Aldrich's rookie year when the Jayhawks won the title in 2008. Of course, Rush is also an NBA champion, was with the Golden State Warriors the last 2 years, so he won the title in 15, got back to the finals last year. And last year is really where he revived his career. You know, he had been battling injuries. Twice he's blown out an ACL. He hurt his right ACL back in 2007 when he was at Kansas. That actually kept him in Lawrence an extra season, allowed him to win the national title. But then he blew out his left ACL with the Golden State Warriors back in 2012, and he really never got into a rotation, whether it was with the Utah Jazz the following year or back with Golden State the next year when they won that title. But he got into the rotation last year. He played in 72 games. That's the most he's played since the 09-10 season when he was with the Indiana Pacers. He started his career with Indiana, playing 3 years there. So he plays 72 games, plays 15 minutes, 4 points, three rebounds, shot 43% from the field, and most of that was his 41% shooting from beyond the arc. I mean, 60% of his field goal attempts were three-point attempts last year, and again, shot 41%. His career average from deep is 40%. Four times in his career, he shot 41% or better from beyond the arc. So he brings, he is a bona fide three-point shooter. Now, he's not going to be out there for, you know, he only averaged 15 minutes a game. It's a guy in his ninth year, so you're not going to throw him out there for 25 and 30 minutes on a regular basis and expect him to give you three, four threes a game. But this is a guy who can come off the bench, spot up for a three, and knock them down. And, you know, he also got an opportunity in the starting lineup last year when Harrison Barnes went down. He had 25 starts, and in those games, Golden State went 21-4. The 25 starts were, again, the most he's had in a season since his Pacer days, in that 09-10 season. But in those 25 starts, 7 points a game, shot 50%, hit 49% of his threes. So that's an encouraging sign from Brandon Rush. He's big. He's strong. He can play you some defense. And like I said, you can move him from the shooting guard to the small forward, even some power forward. The Wolves locked him up to a one-year deal, so it's really a low-risk thing. He's a veteran that comes in here. He's got some championship pedigree, having spent time in Golden State. And we mentioned we'll mention in a couple days, you know, Cole Aldrich coming in from the L.A. Clippers. There were only three free agents that came in, Jordan Hill, Cole Aldrich, and Brandon Rush. And two of them, Rush with Golden State and Aldrich with the L.A. Clippers, really bring some, you know, in Rush's case, championship experience. And with Aldrich coming from one of the top teams in the Western Conference, in the L.A. Clippers, backing up DeAndre Jordan there and playing extremely well. So I like what that brings as well. You know, the couple of years ago, the Wolves kind of went a little too far on the veteran chart by bringing in Tayshaun Prince and Andre Miller. And now you sort of supplement this young core with some guys that aren't kind of as long in the tooth. Brandon Rush is ninth year, and Cole Aldrich, you know, in those mid areas. He's been in the league 5-6 years. Jordan Hill, I think, fits that same category as well. And one other note on Brandon Rush, courtesy of ESPN insider Kevin Pelton, who looked this one up. You know, in 15 minutes a game, Brandon Rush hit more three-pointers. He hit 65 of them last year. That topped every Minnesota Timberwolves player with the exception of Zach LaVine. And again, he did that in 15 minutes. So when you think of the Wolves' three-point shooting and getting outscored by 3.5 made threes a game, Brandon Rush, even in a shorter period of time, can really help you in an area that probably ranks second in your off-season needs. The defense has to improve. The three-point shooting has to improve. Brandon Rush can help that. So the final guy in this discussion would be Ture Murray. He's a 6'5", 195-pound guard. He's played a couple of years in the league, only 56 games in 2 years. Split those games with New York, Utah, Washington last year in the D-League with the Texas Legends and in Sioux Falls as well. But he was on the Wolves' summer league roster. And I thought, you know, when I looked at that roster this summer, obviously Chris Dunn was the name that jumped out. Tyus Jones was there. Adrian Payne was there. Those three guys were probably top of the list as far as, you know, what you wanted to see and how those guys performed. But I thought Ture Murray was an interesting candidate because I don't think the Wolves do have a lot of depth at that wing position. And if someone could kind of play well, knock down some threes, show some defensive acumen, they might be able to find themselves a spot on this roster. And I thought Ture Murray, if he knocked down his threes, I thought could have been a candidate to make this team. He did not shoot the three well there in Vegas. He was 2 of 14 from beyond the arc. He played 8 games, started a couple of them, 6 points, 3 assists, only shot 35%. But I think it still holds true to a certain extent. If he didn't get hot in summer league, but he's here in training camp, if he has himself a really strong camp, I think he's got a chance to make this team. I really do, because I think the Wolves have some cap space available, so they're not afraid if it's going to help the team. I don't think they have 15 guaranteed contracts, so they'd have to pay someone to go away, cut them outright. But I think they've got the room available to be able to do that if someone like Murray had a big training camp. All right, let's wrap things up with the number of minutes, kind of figuring out the rotation. Now, Zach LaVine, I think, goes in as the starter. How many minutes he gets, I think, really depends on how quickly he's able to pick things up at the defensive end. And if he's able to keep himself on the floor, I think he'll get big minutes. He played 35 minutes a game, last 28 games of the year when he was at that shooting guard spot. So maybe 30 to 35, somewhere in that range, and Brandon Rush fills in the rest. You could also have Rush slide over to the small forward spot if you need to get done minutes to play with Ricky Rubio in the backcourt. So, you know, and that, of course, is all assuming that everybody stays healthy. There's always nicks and cuts and bruises and injuries that come along and throw a big wrench into those plans. But I think if everybody's healthy, I think you've got some really interesting combinations that Tom Thibodeau can go with in his backcourt at the 1 and 2 spot. All right, there's the music. That means we are done. Another edition of Locked On Wolves is in the books. A reminder to tune in tomorrow when we take a look at the small forward position. Have yourself a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Alan Horton. Follow me on Twitter. Hit me up at Wolves Radio, at Locked On Wolves. This has been another edition of Locked On Wolves, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.